From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Akwan and on demand as a podcast. It's Thursday, September 5th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Chish, Hawa, Toyaksuk Nusum, Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. On today's show, we preview this Friday's AK Hip Hop Showcase at the Crystal Saloon with rapper and organizer Wordplay. We chat with Theater in the Rough about their latest project, a series of play readings called Rough Reads, and it's all being done as a fundraiser for the recent flooding victims through the Flood Relief Fund. And the Friends of Douglas has invited those running for election this fall to the Douglas Island Candidate Forum this Sunday to discuss issues specific to Douglas Island and beyond. We'll talk with organizer Ed Schoenfeld. Those conversations and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Clan Edi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
Sobrang init, alam mo ang dating, sobrang gigit, para na akong pating, I'm so amazing, akala nila baliw, sobrang init, alam mo magaling, sobrang init, alam mo ang dating, sobrang gigit, para na akong pating, I'm so amazing, akala nila baliw, sino si Migo?
Migo?
Filipino representing the Kalibo.
Kalibo?
Sobrang haba ng biyahe, ako'y nahilo.
Hilo.
Pero okay lang kasi ako ay bibo. Angas ng beat kasi ako'y nasa tempo. Di mapagkakait, meron pa rin talento. Luluto ang kaano, gusto adobo. Kaya mag-rap, kumanta at magluto. Yeah. Now you know now, Wordplay.
Wordplay, cold chain with the sing-sing. Bling-bling, flexing homie, we are doing king things. Ring-ring, hitting up the dick things. They be pulling up to the door like ring, ring. I be snapping, yo, I'm Kobe when I ball. Sunning your whole team, call that Chris Paul. Nikes and Jordans, homie, I'm buying it all. My credit card unlimited like Mang and Asalo. Kim's tell him
Mang Inasal, yeah, that's the best. Parang all Kim's wordplay and the rest of the homies.
You're listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Ock Bay, and online at KTOO.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That right there is a little bit of Wordplay rapping on the show last fall with his buddy. It was in support of an event happening during Magakwento at the Filipino Community Hall. And the hip hop scene has been growing over the last several years. And for Grayson Robustus, aka Wordplay, it's been a personal journey, having helped found Diamond Dollar Entertainment to help put the scene in Juno on the map. And now Wordplay is producing the AK Hip Hop Showcase this Friday night at the Crystal Saloon. It will feature acts from Juno and beyond, including Anchorage, Fairbanks, Palmer, plus artists from Louisiana, Florida, and more. It's pretty awesome. So Gunath Chish, thank you so much, Wordplay, for coming in. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio today. Wasiti, how's it going?
It's going good. Thanks for having me.
I mean, you're getting down to it here. Tomorrow night is the thing.
Yep.
I mean, you've been making plans and booking plane tickets and helping out and getting all these folks together. And I just want to let people know, if they want to look at the event, find out a lot more about the artist. It's on Eventbrite, and you can just put in the search bar AK Hip Hop Showcase Juno if you need to, but it'll probably come up. And yeah, it's happening tomorrow night at the Crystal Saloon. You can get tickets there, but it's really nice on that website. You have sort of information about everybody who's going to be there, all the different artists who are going to be in there. So that's pretty cool. But I want to start with you sort of and your sort of personal journey and your story. How did you come to being a hip hop artist?
I mean, I've loved hip hop ever since I was a kid. It was kind of crazy. I started rapping to impress a girl I liked.
Of course.
Yeah. And then it turns out like people really liked the way I rapped. So I just kept doing it, kept developing it, and then met people that rapped, and I just became like a nerd for hip hop. So
I see. And what were some of the influences that sort of inspired you?
My biggest influences were definitely the most popular artists, like when I was growing up, Nelly, Lil Wayne, Eminem, Jay-Z, those guys. And then just like my uncles just rapped as well. So I kind of wanted to try it out, and turns out I was kind of better than them. So,
I see. The student becomes the master, as it were.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And when did you start?
So I started making music around 2013. But I started really like writing my raps when I was like probably 8.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah. In 2013, that's like over 10 years ago now.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm glad that, I've been able to do as much as I can now. So
yeah.
Learned a lot.
And how has it grown for you personally over the years that you've done it? Have you found different ways to write the rhymes, or how does that work for you?
I've definitely met a lot of people that, you know, have kind of guided me throughout the years. I've been blessed this year. Like, we've done the most I've ever done in hip hop this year. I've been on tour.
Oh, wow.
I'll be performed in Texas and Florida, which is where I've met all these people that are going to be on this showcase. So
awesome.
I'm kind of bringing all my adventures back home.
So. I love that. That's so cool. So what is the thing that has like led you to creating this hip hop showcase tomorrow night?
So I felt like I started rapping here, and like the scene here has been kind of weak. I've been able to grow as an artist outside.
Okay.
So like the Anchorage scene has accepted us, Fairbanks, and then even beyond that, Texas, all that stuff. So I kind of wanted to bring all the scenes that I've been to back home to kind of inspire and spark up our scene. So yeah, like I really wanted to open people's eyes and be like, oh wow, there's like rappers in Alaska. Like, people don't know that there's rappers beyond Juneau. So the Anchorage scene is so like supportive of each other.
Yeah.
I kind of want that to rub off on us. So
I see. I love that. And what's it like when you go to another city? You said you just been out touring to Texas and stuff. And but can you describe for us what it's like when you get up in front of an audience that maybe you don't know? Like, what does that feel like?
Oh, I mean, I'm always very nervous because it's like, I don't know if they're going to like me because this is different. But being from Alaska is a really good selling point because they'll introduce it. They'll be like, up next from Alaska. Everybody's like, what? And then like, they kind of love you automatically. I mean, you still got to be good, but.
I'm glad you're good because what if you weren't? You're giving Alaska a bad reputation.
Yeah, that's, we make sure we're representing right.
Yeah, so that's cool. I think it's so cool. And you talked a little bit about the scene here in Juneau, and I think it's interesting because it feels like with the sort of comeuppance of a few of you that have been around these last few years, it's growing, like it's getting bigger. I know that you founded along with some other folks, Diamond Dollar Entertainment.
Yep.
And I want to talk about that in a second. But do you think that there's been a lot more events here in Juneau? And is that due to all of you putting these events on and creating are you creating the hip hop scene in Juneau?
I mean, there's a few people. I just feel like it needs like this event that I'm putting together has no big name and no sponsors. I want it to be solely focused on our scene. I feel like the hip hop events that have been put before, the focus is on the main act. I mean, no disrespect to those promoters or those events. You know, they bring in Afro Man, they bring in the Wu-Tang Clan. People kind of show up to see them and like show up later and don't really show up to see the openers. So this show is focused on the up and comers.
It's a real, I mean, you call it a showcase, right? Yeah. It's the AK hip hop showcase. You're really showcasing those who are creating hip hop in Alaska. I mean, I love that I saw, you can go to the Facebook page for Diamond Dollar Entertainment, just search Diamond Dollar Entertainment and you'll see a little video that you have sort of with, you know, kind of some of the artists who are coming. And we'll talk about some of those individually in here in a second, but it's great because you see like, oh, Anchor, oh, you see Palmer, you see Fairbanks, you see, you know, it's like, oh, wow. Okay, there's really stuff going on there. So that's kind of cool. And can you tell me how you got Diamond Dollar Entertainment going?
Oh, yeah. So I wanted to start an independent label with my friends. Like, I wanted to do rap, but not by myself. I just feel like it would be more fun. My friends rap. So I was like, hey, let's start a label and a group. And like, let's do this together. And I felt like having a group of individuals like would up the competition between, you know, like between us. So everyone would work hard and I feel like the name would just grow like faster. So,
right. Shout out who else is part of Diamond Dollar Entertainment.
Rains, shout out Strange Reality, No Saint, Goddess Sig, AWR and A-Game.
Sweet. That's nice. See, that's a lot of people right here. And they're are they all in Juneau?
All of them except for A-Game. A-Game is actually from Idaho. Oh. So
I love that. But you're able to, this is kind of cool though, because the idea is that you're all able to help each other out, sort of encourage each other to do better and make more good music. And then, but this other idea of going out, like you said, going outside to get some more inspiration and or learning as you're growing as artists and sort of also collaborations, right? And like you met some of these folks who you're bringing up this weekend and that's just really cool. So now I know you mentioned to me that this is your first, this is your, you're producing this. This, I mean, this on this poster, it says Wordplay Presents, right? This is you doing this and this is your first time doing this. How have you found this experience to produce this event?
It's very stressful. to be honest, I was a little cocky a little bit. I was like, oh, this is going to be a piece of cake. Definitely a lot harder. You have to manage all these artists, got to manage, you know.
And their egos.
That too. I found out that people do care about their placement on the card. But I've been able to work with them and explain everything to them. So yeah, I'm really glad that this lineup is very understanding. And they're really excited to entertain the Juneau people. So
I love that. And I just want to mention this is it's happening at the Crystal Saloon. It's September 6th. That's this Friday. Doors open at 8. Show starts at 9. And with as many of these artists are on here, this thing's probably going to go for a while.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's going to be some collabs happening on the stage that night as well. It's $10 pre-sale, $15 at the door if you want to go to the Crystal. But like I mentioned, if you go to eventbrite.com, you can search AK Hip Hop Showcase and you can get tickets in advance and give Wordplay a little idea of how many people are going to be showing up at this show, which is kind of cool. Okay, so let's talk about this card a little bit. It says featuring Alaska's finest artists from across the country, you know, Alaska's finest and artists from across the country, which is kind of cool. So you mentioned a few of them, Strange Reality, and a few others that are local. Tell me a little bit about some of the artists on the card and where they're from.
Besides us, T-Loke and D-Loading are from Juneau. Some people from Anchorage I got, Live from the North. Live from the North. We got Stevie the Blessed from Anchorage. Concept is actually from Texas. And then Day Ones are kind of a group from, like, they're all the members from different places, including the New Orleans, Anchorage.
Oh, okay. That's like a combo group.
Yeah.
Group. Okay.
Yeah. And then what was he's from Florida, Balin from Anchorage. And Bishop Slice is from Fairbanks. So I met most of the Alaskan artists on our last tour Yeah. We toured all across Alaska. We toured with Six Star and Live from the North. We were the openers for Alaska Red, who is an OG in the Alaska scene. So I met them through there. And then the rest of the people we met along the way, they were like guests on the tour. So,
I see.
And then Concept from, he actually found DDE, our Diamond Dollar Entertainment, on Instagram through our clips. And, he invited us to perform in Texas. So that's how I met him. And then, Mosey from Florida, he actually lives in Anchorage now. We met him through the tour and then he invited us out to Florida. So yeah, but all these guys are crazy performers. I wanted to select people who I knew could perform and entertain the crowd. Not so much of like their skill level and like, you know, some people are like very lyrical or like poets and stuff like that. That's cool. But I really wanted it to be an energy filled event.
Yeah.
So people, you know, when you go, like, you're welcome to dance and have fun. Like, it's super energetic. And yeah.
I'm assuming because it's at the Crystal, it's an over 21 show.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It's over 21. To be honest, I think there is a rule that like that you can bring a guardian. I have to double check that with the Crystal.
Oh, okay. But, yeah.
As far as I know, like you need a 21 year old to
go with. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I'm sure there's a lot of folks under 21 who would love to see this.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm trying to do a show for them too.
So. Yeah. I gotcha. And I noticed, here that, Wordplay is the top of the card here.
I didn't make the flyer. I didn't think he was going to make my name that big, but,
Hey, you know what? When you're the producer, you can do whatever you want. Right. So you're going to perform as well.
Yes, I will be performing as well.
Cause I mean, it's a lot of work to do the production and do all the things and also perform.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing. This is an awesome thing you're putting together.
Yeah, I mean, I love performing. Like, it's kind of hard to get opportunities to perform here. So I was like, I'll make one.
There you go. So, that's how you do it. Take ownership, right? Like, make it happen. Make it, you know, make the project happen yourself. Before we go, I want to ask you, because I know you have sort of a history of battling, rap battling.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, what does it take to be a good rap battler?
You need to channel your inner bad person, see the flaws in people. But really, like, you just have to study other battlers, trying to kind of take in, their skill sets. See, 'cause when you watch those, you could actually like pick up on certain things they do with the metaphors and rhyme schemes and stuff. But yeah, it's just studying.
And do you have like a vocabulary of, I mean, you must, because if you're doing it live like that, you have to have a vocabulary of words that you know you can rhyme together, right?
Yeah.
But are you like looking across, like if I'm looking at you right now, right?
Yeah.
Here on the radio, I would maybe use the bucket hat.
Yeah.
And the glasses and the hoodie, and I could use those things. But is it sort of like an accepted thing between the battlers that like we know we're going to go after each other? Right.
Yeah. So I compare it a lot to professional wrestling. like, you know, you're going in there against this person and it's just like you're in there with the other person to entertain the crowd. But at the same time, you're going against each other.
Yeah.
So it's a little weird, but like it's very fun.
Has anybody ever like got you, like really hit you at your core
and
made you hurt a little?
I'm very thick skinned. it takes a lot to get under me. So
I see. I like that. Okay. Well, this is the AK Hip Hop Showcase. It's happening Friday night at the Crystal Saloon. Wordplay has put this together. It is a ton of artists. If you are into hip hop or even if you aren't, you want to check out the scene and see what's going on here in Alaska with all of these wonderful artists. And it's a lot of original music. And I'm sure I guess original rhymes and lyrics and things like that. And it's sort of putting the hip hop and the rap scene on the map here in Juneau.
Yep.
I appreciate that. Well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Where can I mentioned Diamond Dollar Entertainment is on Facebook. Is there anywhere else that we can follow you? Do you have an Instagram or anything?
You guys can follow me on Instagram at wordplaytoflystmc. That is also the name of my YouTube channel where we vlog. There will be a vlog for this event as well. So definitely check that out and you'll be entertained by it. So
awesome. Gunath Chishlamat, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Okay. Up next, Theater in the Rough brings 4 play readings in support of the flood relief program to help those affected by the recent flooding here in our community. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kakahtlat Florence Marks Sheikley. And the word this week is Kitch-on-a-got.
Kitch-on-a-got.
That means rainbow. And here's a sentence. It is from the rain that we always see rainbows. Let's hear it again.
Kitch-on-a-got.
Rainbow. Gunath Chishlamat, Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kakashat Florence Mark Shakley is Shukach Adi and a child of a Chukunidi man. She grew up on Mark's trail in a family that used Tlingit as the primary language and were involved in teaching and publishing in Tlingit. She has taught the language at all levels and has served as the teacher of teachers in the Juneau area for decades now.
Tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Something to find. I heard a spell of the devil's switch. Isn't paradise like hell? I'll cross the walls, I'll drink the wind. I'll find the way called into me. I'll give my blood, my body too. Want to be.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Theater in the Rough has been going strong for almost 35 years here in Juno. It's run by Aaron Elmore and Katie Jensen, and it's a theater grounded in the community of Juno. And next week, they are bringing a series of readings in support of the Flood Relief Fund to help those impacted by the recent flooding here in Juno. It's called Rough Reads. And joining me now in the studio to talk about this are Aaron Elmore, director Donnie Gott, and from the Juno Community Foundation, Amy Skilbred. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all in the studio. Wasa'iti, how's it going?
Afternoon.
Hello.
It's wonderful to have you here. So let's first talk about this event, right? So Aaron, you all have been going for, this is the 34th season.
And year, anyway.
Yes. Year, yes. And you've done so many plays over those years. You've done tons of Shakespeare and tons of plays. We did Cabaret last fall. And this season, you're taking a little bit of a different take, right? You're taking a little bit of break from the full productions.
That was the idea.
Yeah, and of course, now you're doing four readings in 4 days. Like, why not?
Yeah, not a fashion show, yes.
Yes, but this is a sort of a way to still get things moving and happening, but not necessarily have to do all of the full production aspect. You and Katie have been doing this for so long, in addition to day jobs and things like that. So, and when I know people know this, many people listening know this, but when you do a play, Aaron, you could be in it. You could be directing it. You're probably also building the costumes, probably building the set. Like, you're doing so many of the things.
A fair number of things.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool. So tell us a little bit about this Rough Reads project. How did you guys think it up?
Katie thought this up. She wanted to keep the theater name out there, just wanted to keep it alive, but we also wanted to take basically a year off from four productions.
Yeah.
And she thought a couple of small events in the fall seemed like a good time. Donnie suggested the time frame, which I think was really cool, and it's worked out nicely. And then, too, we have a chance to do something we're passionate about, which is to keep these words, you get a playwright's words out in the air, not off of the page, which is not really where they belong. No play was ever written to be read. Certainly none of Shakespeare's plays were ever written to be read by people. They were written so they could be performed. And that's, so we're meeting that halfway. We're not going to do a full production of any of these, but we chose these four amazing pieces and gathered all these folks together so we'd be able to read them out loud.
And this is, of course, you can find out more at theaterintherough.org, and it'll have tickets, and but it's probably by donation. Is it a pay-as-you-can? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I know it's a fundraiser, but these are going to be pay-as-you-can readings, yeah?
Yeah, essentially they are free readings, donations accepted and will be donated to the Juno Community Foundation.
Yeah, and we'll talk to Amy about that in just a second. So that's kind of cool. Yeah, this is great. So it's happening next week, and these are all going to be taking place at McFeeters?
Correct.
Okay, yes. So it's at McFeeters, and they are September 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th. I believe that's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday.
Yes,
is that
you
right?
Are correct.
Yes. Okay, good. Yes. So let's talk about these plays a little bit, the ones that you're doing, and why you selected these particular plays.
We chose, actually, Katie got in touch with this with the first one, which is A Body of Water by Lee Blessing. And we'll be, it's three people. The cast is quite small. The subject is also small and intimate, but it's incredibly mysterious. By the end of this play, I don't think anybody will have any idea exactly what was true. There'll be a couple of moments where the person is being quite genuine and real, but most of the time they're really not going to be sure. The characters find out their story at the same moment that the audience does. There's very little kind of actors being in their head with this piece, which I really love. Most of the time you spend working on a play, you try to make it fresh. You try not to think about the end. Thinking about the end in this play won't do any of these characters any good because they're so so deeply involved in this mystery. It's just a lovely piece and a fantastic thing. We're very
excited. I love the way you set that up because you didn't tell us anything.
Nothing.
But
it's just what the playwright does.
But you told us so much and intrigue. So, yeah. It sounds very intriguing to go into it not knowing anything. And it's probably a play many people haven't heard of.
I don't think so. It's very funny. It gets quite dark at a point and then twists again. It just never rests. It's just lovely.
All right. And that's Thursday night, September 12th at 7:30. It's a body of water. The description here says two people wake up together not knowing who they are, and the truth comes from a mysterious source. Now, Friday night, I believe this is where you come in, Donnie Gott. You're directing. Do you want to tell us who's in the body of water and who's directing that one?
I'll read off all the names at the end because there's so much overlap.
Okay, great. There's a lot of people doing different things. Yeah. But Donnie, we know you're directing The Good John Proctor. Now, I think people who probably had high school reading or English class may have read a play called The Crucible. Or maybe they've seen it because it's done a lot by community theaters and they might know that name, John Proctor, but this is not that play. Tell us a little bit about The Good John Proctor.
Well, The Good John Proctor is a play by Taylene Monahan, who is a new young up-and-coming playwright who's fantastic. And it's the story told from about these four of the main girls in The Crucible: Mary Warren, Mercy Lewis, Abigail Williams, Elizabeth Paris, Reverend Paris's daughter, Betty, and the days leading up to the night that they are found in the woods at the beginning of Arthur Miller's Crucible.
Ah, so kind of like a prequel.
Yeah, and it's one of the things I really love about all four of the plays that we've chosen is sort of a through thread through all of them is this idea of narrative and who gets to control it, right? So when we think about Abigail Williams and John Proctor, we think of her as this villain, this hyper-sexed 17-year-old girl who seduced this poor, poor man who had to then be hung to, you know, and speak the truth at the end. And he is revered as this good man. When in fact, in reality, historically, Abigail Williams was 11 years old and John Proctor was 60. So when Arthur Miller took those historical facts and wove them into what he wrote as The Crucible, which was a great way to talk about McCarthyism and the Red Scare during the time, he also, I think, did some damage to the story of these young girls and where the life that they were living and the truth of their narrative of what was happening to them in Salem at that time. So this is a story about those girls. The language is very strong.
It is called Theater in the Rough.
But it's very funny. And, just as Aaron said, it's very funny and it's very dark.
Yeah, very funny, very dark. Okay, that's good. And that's, as we're getting, it's getting darker out. It just starts to happen. Theater season's kicking off. And so that is on Friday night at 7:30. This is September 13th. This is next week, not this weekend. Mm-hmm. Then we have something that's got some darkness to it, but it's also got some humor, but it's also sort of right in the wheelhouse of Theater in the Rough. It's a little Romeo and Juliet.
People may have heard of this play.
Also read it in high school.
I would challenge anyone to, if you've read it in high school, I apologize. Please come see our reading or listen to our reading. I challenge anyone in our audience today to remember a time when they didn't know about Romeo and Juliet. And I certainly can't remember a time I didn't know about them. And they are deep in all of us. And I love that you pointed out that theme that runs through who controls the narrative, which certainly is a strong part of Romeo and Juliet, these two warring families who have just decided who's the bad guy. Mm. And often the productions are done with, we're in blue and we're the red team and you guys are, anyway. We'll be changing that up as time goes on. But I think the other thing that strikes me about all of these plays is the damage that is done to young people in the course of us creating that narrative and deciding who's on and who's not. It's a real treat. It's also a play we, Theater in the Rough, has never done. So that's a fun thing
really?
To find in a Shakespeare.
I love that.
There's been lots of them done. It's one of the most done Shakespeare's in town, but we've never actually tackled it. So very excited.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
And I love your I love the slug line for this one, as they say. Like, this is, you captured it well. Two young people fall in love and all hell breaks loose.
That's pretty much it.
I love that. And that's Saturday night. Great. And then we have one matinee, and it's on Sunday, September 15th, and it's by a playwright that I enjoy a lot. And so tell us about You Are on the Moors Now.
Jacqueline Backus is the author. Timothy Sislow has been directing this one. It was chosen by one of our other board members, Valerie Lindegaard. It's four of our most favorite Gothic heroines who, approaching the moment of being asked to be married, say no. And
run away.
And the rest of the play is all about that. So who have we got? It's,
we've got Jo March.
Right.
We've got Elizabeth Bennet.
Little Women and Pride and Prejudice, yes.
Catherine from Wuthering Heights.
Yes.
Jane Eyre, of
course. There you go.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're all sort of, this is obviously fictional, but yeah.
All of them are fictional.
Yes, I'm
yes.
saying, but in terms of them meeting, right?
Yes.
They are interacting with each other.
Yes.
Okay,
they become fast friends.
Yeah,
and then,
absolutely.
Of course, terrible things happen, because they're still in a Gothic romance.
Is this one funny and dark?
It's a bit of a theme, you see. We really wanted to find out a festival of plays that
that's a good thing. And that one's Sunday, September 15th at 2:00. And here's the interesting thing now. I do want to mention the folks involved, but let's talk just a little bit to Amy here about this, because you have decided to do this and you're going to come back in a couple weeks and tell us about the fashion show, but that's also near the end of September. But these are both going to be, they're both fundraisers. And this one is a fundraiser for the Flood Relief Program. And it's, that's very close to everyone's hearts right now. It's been 2 years in a row now that we've been affected by this flooding here in town, and there's a lot of families that are affected. And I know, Amy, you told us a little bit about the Flood Relief Program last year, a little bit, but can you remind folks what that program does, the community foundation's involvement, and how people might be able to access that fund if they are so affected?
Sure. We're going for hopeful and helpful here.
Instead of funny and dark.
Right, instead of funny and dark, yeah.
Very wise.
And we started up the Flood Relief Fund again this year after the flooding of the Mendenhall happened for a second time. We've raised about $150,000 and are expecting more coming in. And we have probably about 50 applicants at this time, but people should know that if they've been impacted by the flooding, that the applications are available on our website, which is JunoCF, as in communityfoundation.org, so JunoCF.org. And it's a very simple application. We encourage people who have had a major loss to apply. And what we're going to do is very similar to last year, is we're just going to be doing a review of the applications to make sure all the applicants live in that area or were living in that area at the time. And then we will take the amount of money we receive and divide it by the amount of applicants that we get and give those funds out.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's, there's a lot of, in disaster relief, there's a lot of ways you can do things. And at this point in time, there's no simple way to measure who was hurt more and who has more resources and sort of figure all that out without spending a lot of money. Mm. And I think that it's more important, and my board has agreed to this, to get funds out to people and help them. Because we all know the really unfortunate thing about this all is that it's not really just the second year that this happened. You know, View Drive and other places have been flooding for several years, and Suicide Basin will continue to wreak havoc in the Mendenhall Valley. So that's a hard thing, but we're providing some hope with some hope of getting some funds to help with some relief of the expenses that people are incurring.
Yeah, I know the scientists are working hard to try to predict the future, but it's not necessarily good news for that side of things, but it's really great. It's also, this is just a testament to community here in Juneau. It's just an amazing community. And I mean, theater is about community. It creates a community in the people who put it on, and then the communion with the audience when the performances happen. But then these kinds of things that happen and affect our town, and then people coming together to do this kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd say that community has been a big part of donating businesses, tourism industry, foundations, individuals, and then just the outpouring of people and volunteers that happened after the flood this year was huge. And I know United Way helped out with making sure that trying to match volunteers with what was needed around the flooded areas. And it's just been a big community effort.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And you can, of course, go to junocf.org and make a donation directly to the flood relief program if you so desire. But absolutely, this opportunity with Theater in the Rough to be able to go enjoy a staged reading of these plays. There's four different plays. And Donnie, can you just quickly for the audience, because some people may not understand what a reading means in terms of, you know, what kind of performance that means?
Well, essentially, you're going to watch the actors on stage with music stands and the book, the script in front of them, read the play to you. Someone will read stage direction. So the actors will not be doing any blocking, any moving around. There won't be costume changes. Some people, I think that there are... I think it's a spectrum, the read, right? I plan on being very simple with mine because the elements of the play would take me months to figure out how do I want to do that, right? But I do want to hear it. But then other people might already have ideas, so you might see a costume change or I did buy bonnets for all of my...
Or a simple piece of blocking.
Maybe a simple sound effect, maybe some kind of prop, but it won't be a complete staged production. It's very, very scaled down. And generally people are sitting in a chair reading a play and you're listening.
And as Aaron mentioned at the beginning, it's a focus on the words as plays are meant to be heard and performed, not necessarily read. So that's kind of cool. Before we have to go, Aaron, can you shout out who all is involved in this massive undertaking?
Happy to do so. So many people have already helped and volunteered their time for this, just organizing all these kitty cats into a herd has been a great joy. Katie Jensen will be reading, Aaron Elmore, myself will be reading, Natalia Spengler, Donnie Gott, Timothy Sislow, Hedy Laverne, Tara Stark, Dan Wayne, Grady Wright, Pat Minnick, Patricia Hall-Latim, Eddie Jones, Becky Orford, Sharon Gateman, Alex Curtin, the list goes on, Maisie Messing, Carrie Brockett, Kelsey Riker, Jeffrey Thole, Roman Mahanyu, Jack Scholes, Leo Finnegan, Jamie Ryan, and Karen Allen, some ruffians we've worked with for years, some brand new folks we've had a chance to hear their voices on stage. It's thrilling to have all these folks gathered together, and a lot of them are doing more than one play. So.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. Amy?
I just wanted to say a big thank you to Theater in the Rough for doing this and for having the proceeds that you do collect go to the relief fund. That's really tremendous of you to think of it and to actually do it. And a lot of work. Can't wait to see it.
we want to use this as a thank you for you. As back in 2007, we started taking donations to rebuild the McFeeters Hall, and the Juneau Community Foundation held those funds and was a huge help.
So,
the relationship goes back to the first day I walked in the office.
I love that. Theaterintherough.org. You can find out more information. This is the Rough Reads. It's a body of water, The Good John Proctor, Romeo and Juliet, and You Are on the Moors Now, all happening next week. Starts on Thursday, September 12th, and runs for 4 days. Gwyneth Cheese for coming in and telling us all about it. And of course, your hard-earned donations will go to the flood relief program administered by the Juneau Community Foundation. Thank you, Amy, Aaron, and Donnie for coming in today. I really appreciate
it. Thank you, Boston.
Thanks, Boston.
Gwyneth Cheese. Up next, we'll talk with Ed Schoenfeld about the Douglas Candidate Forum. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO.
Could matcha make your day a little more terrific? This is Sandra Tsinglo with the lowdown on science. Aren't matcha lovers annoyingly chill? Or are you the matcha head and you're annoyingly chill? What gives? Green teas contain the amino acid theanine, which reduces stress. Matcha takes it up a notch with caffeine in the mix, too. Now, enter a study by Keiko Ono from the University of Shizuoka and team. Participants were blindly assigned to matcha or placebo groups. They consumed 3 grams of matcha or placebo in water daily for 15 days. Questionnaires and measurements of a salivary enzyme were used to assess anxiety and physiological stress. Results? The matcha group had significantly lower values on the anxiety test than the placebo group. The significant decrease in the salivary enzyme was from the intake of matcha. However, too much caffeine would bust that up. Either way, I can't live without my Zen in a plastic cup with a few boba balls.
The Lowdown on Science is produced by LDOS Media Lab in partnership with the University of California Irvine Science Communication and LAist, and made possible with the generous support of the Fuse Family Foundation.
This is Sandra. Follow us on Twitter at LOHDOWM.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson, right here at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. This Sunday, September 8th, the Friends of Douglas are sponsoring the Douglas Candidate Forum. They've invited the mayor and assembly candidates to speak and ask questions about issues specific to Douglas Island and beyond. It's open to the public. It starts at 2 p.m. and will take place at the Douglas Library. And here to share more with us about this event is Ed Schoenfeld. Hi, Ed. How are you? Gunashish.
Well, thank you very much, Gunashish. We are looking forward to hearing what candidates have to say about issues in Douglas. And the reason we're doing a Douglas Forum is there's a lot going in Douglas. For those who haven't been around for a while, Douglas was its own city for many, many decades. And when it unified into Juneau, into the greater Juneau borough, against the wishes of Douglas residents, by the way, although that's ancient history, there were some things that got a lot of attention and a lot of things that kind of fell off the map. So we just thought it would be great to have a forum. Not a formal group. Friends of Douglas is just a couple people who think this is a good idea, but to bring as many candidates together as we can and ask them about particular Douglas issues. If there's time, people can ask about other issues too. And when I say Douglas, I mean Douglas Island. So not just the old city of Douglas, which is Lawson Creek South, but West Juneau, North Douglas,
All of Douglas Island. I see. Okay.
We're all islanders.
Right. So I want to ask you, before we get into some of these issues, because you are known as, I don't know if there's an official title for you, but you are, I don't know if it's King of Douglas or if you are Steward of Douglas, if you are, you're Grand Marshal of the Parade for sure.
I was Grand Marshal of the Parade for a year. That was my 15 minutes of fame and the only thing I ever aspired to. So, it's all downhill from here.
But you've lived, why do you love Douglas so much?
Well, Douglas has its own personality, and I suppose it's a little bit of being part of a group of people who aren't the majority, who have their own interests and activities. And a lot of people who live in Douglas don't think of it as, especially more recent residents, who don't think of it as being any different than, the Valley or Ock Bay or downtown. But we have our own area there. We have our own fire hall. We have our own library. We have the Sandy Beach and Savico Park area, which is the center of just a lot of activity, sports and picnics and birthday parties. And it's the place to go to take your dog for a walk. There's the Treadwell mine ruins, and that was the biggest gold mine in the world, hard rock gold mine in the world, for quite a few years in the late 1800s, early 1900s, until it kind of collapsed, caved in, and the Alaska Juneau gold mine took over as the largest gold mine in the world.
Yeah.
Lots of gold in the ground, very hard to get it out. But so it has its own identity. I have one official role, which is I chair the Douglas Advisory Committee. It's the group appointed by the assembly that's supposed to advise the municipality on Douglas issues.
I see.
And up till recently, when we did a bit of a campaign, we learned that a lot of city officials, including people on the assembly, didn't actually know we existed and that we were more of a more than a neighborhood association. Not to put down neighborhood associations,
we're right?
Actually. But I'm not. We're not doing this in the capacity of the Douglas Advisory Board. That's not.
Yeah, this is Friends of Douglas, which you can actually find on Facebook as a group if you want to look into it a little bit more. And I know I've talked to you about this before, and I know that there's a song specific to Douglas that I've heard some lyrics of. It's a really wonderful song. I don't have a recording of it, but just for fun, I want to play you this, which I found. Hang on a second. I got to get rid of that music first. We don't want that. We want this. I found this. This is by a YouTuber that says the guy who sings your name, but it just happens to be just
Douglas,
check this out.
Douglas, Douglas. Douglas, 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 Douglas. D-O-U-G-L-A-S. D-O-U-G-L-A-S. Douglas, 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 Douglas.
So, I mean, you could play that as your opener for different events.
No, that's okay. We do have an official Douglas song. It's the to the tune of "This Land Is My Land," and it quick part of it goes, don't like a downtown because it's too sunny. Don't like the valley, spend too much money. Don't like that Auk Bay because it's too far away. Douglas, they made it just for me. I live in Douglas. I live in Douglas. And it goes on and on. Then all the kids at Gastineau School learned it when my kids were in Gastineau School and I sang there. And it's been replaced, I'm sure. But actually, we like Auk Bay and downtown and the valley.
Of course. It's all in jest, of course. We'll have to have you come in sometime and perform that with a bunch of the band members or something. I think that would be hilarious. Okay, so back to the candidate forum. So are there specific issues to Douglas that maybe folks on the other side of the water aren't thinking about? And what are some of those?
Well, one of the big ones is the Douglas cemeteries. There's seven or eight old cemeteries in Douglas, including the old Douglas City Cemetery, which one would think, since when Juneau turned into a borough and unified, has and took over all the functions of the old Douglas City government, they would have taken over the old Douglas cemetery. But they didn't, and along with the other cemeteries, except for a couple, they're not maintained except when volunteers go in with weed whackers. And there's a wonderful group, Restoring Lawson Creek and other historic cemeteries. They're on Facebook and they organize cleanups. And they found a lot of the old headstones which had been buried. I went into the Douglas Cemetery a couple years ago when there was one visible headstone. And now there were like two dozen. But you need a weed whacker to get in there to see them. So anyway, it's something that a number of groups for many years have been asking the municipality to take responsibility for, just like they did Evergreen Cemetery downtown, which was also a collection of smaller cemeteries. And there's been a push to do that, and it hasn't really succeeded. So that's something we'll be asking candidates about. They don't have to, you know, they don't have to agree with the people who support that, but they at least need to be aware of it. But other issues include, for example, the boat harbor in Douglas, the Mike Pusich Douglas Boat Harbor, lacks the amenities that the other major harbors have, or at least most of them do. We don't have restrooms. We have an outhouse. And you have to walk over to the Treadwell Arena if it's open to find a decent restroom if you're doing anything out of the Douglas Boat Harbor. You know, lighting, just some real basic things, benches. And there's reasons that hasn't happened yet, but that's something people would like to hear about. Mm-hmm. There's also been a bit of increased tourism, not a lot, in the Sandy Beach, Savico Park area, the Treadwell mine ruins, which there's a lot to see. Not enough, I think, to upset many people, but there are concerns that have been expressed that Douglas, that area, which is very much a local use area, dog walking, there's a frisbee golf course there, a disc golf course there, other things. could be overrun with tourists at some point in the future. Mm. Should that be regulated? You know, and I don't know if it's even anything that would ever happen, but people are concerned. And of course, there's Eagle Crest, which is on Douglas Island, and concerns about the gondola project and just the ongoing funding of it.
Right.
And a few other things, the effort to build what they're calling the Juneau-Douglas North Crossing, another bridge or causeway or some combination that would cross Gastineau Channel. And that's going through one of these very long processes before they, you know, just to decide what's the best site. And that's been controversial. So
if we have time,
we'll ask about that. And, you know, the public's invited. Certainly we're targeting Douglas issues, but I think some of the things we talk about, like Eagle Crest and the crossing, are of interest to the whole community.
Right, right. Absolutely. Yeah. And so, and are you having, is it a different set of times for the different candidates, or are they all invited to sit on a panel together?
They're all invited. There's 9 candidates for mayor and assembly. 6 will be there in person. 2 will participate by filling out a questionnaire. There's a third who I haven't heard back on the questionnaire thing, but we're trying to have as many people as possible. We'll, you know, try to divide up the answers by the people who are running against each other, but we'll ask everybody the same questions, because the same questions apply to everybody. I mean, the mayor is just another assembly member who has a little more power.
Right. So, and are these done as sort of a timed answer, or
we will ask people to keep their answers short, maybe as short as a minute, minute and a half, if they can, at least to the simpler questions, simply because we have 6 candidates. We're going to do this in between an hour and a half and 2 hours, and our own questions could take up that whole time, although we'll drop some to get some citizen input if needed.
I see. Okay.
But everybody's invited. We'll have coffee and cookies.
Coffee and cookies.
At least as long as they last. If you vote at the Douglas Library, there's always things to eat and drink.
That's true.
And we're keeping that tradition going.
It's a lovely library over there. It's at the library. It's this Sunday, September 8th at 2 p.m.
Yeah. It's in the meeting room.
The meeting room.
Which is between the library and the fire hall. I mean, it's obvious. It's the only place to go, not the library, if you walk in the front door.
Right.
And there's a parking lot under the library fire hall, including a couple electric car hookups. Don't know how empty that'll be, but there's lots of street parking on the weekend.
Yeah. Douglas has fantastic parking most of the time for those events. There will be the play at Perseverance will be going on. I only know that because I'm in it. So there will be people at that time for the play, but so plan accordingly. And there's also some construction that's being done down on First Street near the end of First Street there. And so there's a little bit of stuff that's closed off, but the road, they just redid the road out there and it's fantastic.
And put in some lovely bumps. They're dips.
they're bump signs. So be careful if your car doesn't have great suspension. They're going to fix those. I think I heard they're going to fix those when it gets drier out.
Yeah.
Because it has to do with the water lines that go under the road.
Yeah, the utilities under the road, they apparently did not properly compact the gravel, whatever.
Like a first rain or something, it all sunk down a little
and
bit.
And so there's some pretty big dips. And so you not only have to watch out and slow down for them, but you also have to watch out for people who are slowing down from them. Make sure you don't. But, you know, this is not a challenge.
It's not a challenge. We all know how to drive. We learned how to use the roundabout. So, you know, so it should be good. Well, Ed, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about it. The candidate forum, it's the mayor and assembly candidate forum. It's happening at the Douglas Library, the meeting room, this Sunday, September 8th at 2 p.m. It focuses on Douglas issues, but many of those issues are also citywide, and the entire public is welcome, and there'll be cookies. So that's
fantastic. What else do you want?
What else do you want? Thank you so much, Ed Gunth-Cheesh.
Thanks.
That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, a walkathon for Cure for Cade, TV camp for adults, First Friday events, plus Mud Rooms is back. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program. Thanks today for Aaron Tripp's help. Gunth-Cheesh, have a lovely evening.